thankful for our roots out of Ames and the group of churches that are committed to church planting there. I think we stand on their shoulders in a lot of ways. Being committed to make our church a church planting church, that's not always been easy. That's not always been easy. It takes a little bit of work to make that happen.
They gave us $1,000 sure. And a TV and a VCR and say, hey, be warm, be filmed, make it happen. And that was what we knew at the time.
Gives us opportunity for the gospel.
Hey, Rev, how's it going? My name is Noel. I'm one of the pastors here. And, well, actually, I'm not technically one of the pastors here. I'm one of the pastors there. Here is a completely different place. See, on Monday, I got on a plane and I flew to Brazil. And I've been spending this week kind of flying around Brazil and visiting different places. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But the big question is, why? Why am I in Brazil? Well, we are in a series right now that we're calling 40, and what we've been doing is we've been looking back over the last 40 years at God's faithfulness so that we can dream about what God may do with us in the future. And Brazil is actually kind of at the apex, at the center of what we're doing right now, and it's a good way to tell the story of where we've been and where we're going. And before we get into that, I just need to tell you what we have gone through to get this video. We've been planning this for a while. We had all kinds of perfect plans in place, and yesterday we went out on location to where we were going to shoot, and we ran out of time, and so we switched to another place, and while we were there, the sun went down, and the people who were with us said, hey, there's people get shot here, so maybe you guys need to leave, and so we ran back across this busy road into a taxi and took off, and so today we were going to head out to a very specific part of the country where there are some slum areas, and we were going to go there, but we lost one of our buses, and some of our people kind of got left behind in the hotel, and so by the time we got done with all of that, we decided just to stay here and shoot the video here. Now, here is Union Church in Rio, where I'm preaching this weekend, so while you're listening to me preach, it's very possible that I'm also preaching in a church, an English-speaking church or a Portuguese-speaking church here in Brazil, so we got set up right here, and then torrential downpour, like thunderstorm, like crazy. So we moved inside the church building, and we were going to shoot in there, but we lost electricity. So we're back out here, we got everything set up, and just as we got started, it started to rain. So I am getting wet, but we're going to do this thing anyway. We're just going to head straight through, and I may have to take off my glasses as I fight with this, because I'm not sure I'll be able to see them for very much longer because of the dots in my lenses. So why are we doing all of this crazy stuff? Well, this is our history. This is our story. At RIV, our mission is to proclaim the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. A big part of who we are has always been about the go. I mean, our church started 40 years ago because 12 people were willing to go from Ames, Iowa, and go all the way across the Mississippi into the Great Lakes to go to East Lansing to plant this little church that has become Riverview. Only 6 years into Riverview's existence, we planted our first church, and then the next year, we planted another one down in Ann Arbor because the heathen need Jesus. And then the year after that, which was 1985, we actually planted 5 churches. Riverview kind of had quintuplets that year, but it was a rough year because if you kind of fast forward to today, none of those 5 churches are even there anymore. But that's kind of part of church planting. That's how things go when you're planting churches. Some succeed and some don't. In 1988, we not only moved into the Kellogg Center at Michigan State, but we planted 2 churches, one in Wixom and one in Chicago. In the 1990s, we didn't do a lot of planting, but we did a lot of base building. And so in the 1990s, what we did is we found our first permanent location out in Holt, and that's the building that we have out there today. But immediately, it kind of we ran out of room there. So in 2008, we did what everybody tells us you're not supposed to do. We both planted a new venue on the campus of Michigan State and expanded our building at the same time. Launched both of those in the fall of 2008 at the same time, and that was the start of a more robust church planting movement developing within Riverview again. In the 5 years after we launched the MSU venue and expanded our building, we helped plant churches in Detroit and Grand Rapids and Wyoming and St. Petersburg and Clio. In 2014, we started our Riotown venue, and in 2015, we started our Westside venue, and we actually sent a planter to East Asia into a context I can't even tell you about because it'd be too dangerous for him and his family if anyone knew exactly where they were. Just know we have a church planter. A staffer from RIV is overseas in East Asia planting a church. We also helped start churches in Rochester Hills and Grand Rapids and Chicago, and then last year we started a church in Chelsea and one in Howell, and we helped plant churches all over Detroit and in Ann Arbor, all over the place. Now, why am I saying all this? Because we are committed to the go piece of our vision. Riverview exists to proclaim the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. In fact, we have given, in the last 4 years, $1 million to church planting. Not just directly to church plants that we've sent, but we've supported plants that are not even part of our networks. We're supporting those churches. And we've planted churches all around the world and supported a couple organizations. One's called Acts 29. It's a church planting organization. Another is called Collegiate Church Network, which is a college church planting location. And together, they've planted over 250 churches just in the last 4 years alone. And this year, we're planting a church in Grand Rapids, and we've already got stuff in works to help all kinds of other churches. And one of the crazy places that we're going to plant a church this year is right here in Brazil. Right here, so far away from home in the city of Brazil. Now, why are we doing all this? Well, we're doing this because we want to be obedient to Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to absorb all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now imagine what it would have been like for the disciples at that time. They had just seen Jesus be brutally executed on the cross. Jesus was dead. He was buried. And this is the guy that they thought was going to be the Messiah. They watched him preach sermons about not only God's righteousness and the law, but he preached sermons about grace and mercy and the freedom that he would bring. He talked about a countercultural way of living and the fact that we could never live that way on our own. This was going to be the Messiah. They expected him to. He performed miracles. He rose people from the dead, but he didn't seem able to raise himself from the dead. And so now his disciples, after Jesus was dead and buried, they're trying to figure out, what are they going to do? How are they going to pick up the pieces when Jesus was supposed to be their Messiah? But you know the story. Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, and then he appeared to the disciples, and he spent time with them, and he ate with them, and they saw him face to face. So then Jesus appears to them and says, "Listen, guys, I want you to go, and I want you to meet me at a mountaintop." And then he just like disappears. He didn't travel with them or anything like that. He just went to the mountain. And so you got to wonder what it was like for those disciples to walk over to the mountain and get ready to interact with Jesus and not to even know if he was going to be there. I mean, I wonder what was going on in their mind. Were they retelling the stories that Jesus had told? Were they retelling the stories and refreshing their memories of the things that they had seen Jesus do? Or were they just talking about the crazy events of the last few days of Jesus dying and then Jesus raising from the dead and them seeing Jesus face to face? And then right there, they get to the mountain. And what does it say? It says, when they got there, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They worshiped him, but some doubted. See, I think what that means is that they all worshiped him. It wasn't just one of the disciples, or the ones that had the really big faith, but all of them worshiped Jesus. That includes the ones who doubted, because worshiping God is not necessarily always incompatible with dealing with our doubts. Because, you know, sometimes that's my story. I mean, true confession time, I have seen amazing things at Riverview. I have seen people with just jacked up, crazy, crappy marriages have their marriages come back together because of Jesus. I've seen people who are stuck on the hamster wheel of materialism and greed break through and become new people living in joy because of Jesus. I've seen people who had their identity was wrapped up in their school and their work, and now they're finding their identity in Jesus, who says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And when I see all these things happening with you guys, I worship. And then sometimes, in the middle of worshiping externally, I doubt kind of inside here. I ask those questions. I have to imagine the disciples ask questions like, is this real? Is this whole thing that we're experiencing and all the great things that God's doing, is this legit, or is this just something I'm making up in my mind? And it's amazing to me that to these guys who worshiped, and even to those who worshiped and doubted, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's walk through that. What does he say? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Now, just don't miss this at all. Because of Jesus' perfect sinless life, because of his radical obedience to God, not just when he was walking here on earth, but his radical obedience in going to the cross and then raising from the dead and ascending to God's right hand, because he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, advocating for his people, because of all of this, all authority was handed to him by God the Father. All authority where? What does this say? All authority in heaven and on earth. That's all of it. Jesus has been granted all authority everywhere. Jesus is the boss. But I'll be honest with you. This week, sometimes those things are a little bit hard to believe. I mean, there are times where we think that we're struggling here in the States. But man, I was in a home this week where the bathroom in the home was a hole in the ground that ran through a trench into the backyard and turned into a river of sewage that flowed in from all of the neighborhood homes, and that's where the kids were running in and out and playing. And in that home, there was this beautiful little baby, 15 days old, hanging in a hammock in the middle of this room. And by room, I'm not talking about any room that you would experience in your home. It was a kind of haphazardly bricked wall with metal roofs that were rusting away and holes in there, and an uneven kind of concrete floor and dirt in spots. And in this home of extreme poverty, someone asked this mom, what are your biggest dreams for your kids? You know what she said? She said, I hope that sometime we can partition off this room so that we can have a little bit of privacy. And I thought, don't you have bigger dreams for your kids? But I realized in that context of struggle and the pain that she was in, that's about as big as that she could dream in that moment. And sometimes, I'll be honest, when I see suffering in this world, sometimes I ask myself the question, is this real? Why doesn't God do something? And then I'm drawn back to this familiar passage in Matthew 28. Jesus didn't just say, I've now been given all authority, that all authority everywhere has been handed to me. He didn't just say, I am the boss. He then did something about it. What did he do? He turned to those men that were following him. He says, because I have been given all authority, I want you to go. In other words, I am the boss and I'm giving you some marching orders, and your marching orders are to go. That's why at Riverview, we say that we exist to proclaim the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Go is an essential, crucial component. And listen to what he says. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. See, we are in the disciple-making business. Now, don't let that word disciple freak you out because of Jesus' disciples and stuff like that. Think of disciple as a follower of Jesus. So you could say we are in the follower of Jesus making a business. We are in it about telling people all over the world about him, because notice the boundaries that he gives us. Where does he say we are to do this? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, dot, dot, of all nations. That's the whole world. That's everywhere, and that includes Brazil. You see, one church can't go to every single nation. That's why we partner with other like-minded churches who plant in other areas. There was a church that I was at this week. I had the honor of being at the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the launch of this church, which was the first partnership between Acts 29, this church planting network that we are part of, and Compassion International, an organization you may be familiar with. And we're at this ribbon-cutting ceremony. Their church has actually been kind of rolling for 3 weeks, but we did the official big ceremony this week, and I was astonished that not only do they have more than 140 kids plugged into their program already, but they already have a ministry at a university that is just down the path. And you would not drive through this area and think there's a university there, because the same story I just told you about the sewage running through the street, that's right there in the neighborhood. And then there's this university, and this university has in it college students from Africa who are now serving in this church. I was amazed. There were 8 countries represented in this church that have been around for 3 weeks. That's how we go. We go by impacting others who impact others who impact others. For a long time, Riverview has been laser-like focused on the city of Mazatlan in Mexico with an organization called Back to Back Ministries. And our partnership with them is solid, and it has been fantastic. We're going to continue to work with them. We're sponsoring like 60 kids in their program, 60 orphans in Mazatlan area just from Riverview, which makes us the biggest single church making an impact through back-to-back. And so we're going to continue that. We send teams down to work in these orphanages. We've got a team going here really soon and another one coming up this summer. And what I'm specifically excited about right now is that this partnership with back-to-back is only getting stronger. In fact, it's getting so strong that there is a couple from Riverview who has been on trips down to Mazatlan that are now moving down there to start a new initiative with them, a new thing. I'll just let them tell you about this.
We started going to Riv about 5 years ago, and we're sitting in church one day, and Noel started talking about Mexico, and my wife gives me the old elbow and says, "This has got your name all over it," and the next thing you know, I signed up for it. I remember my first meeting that we had getting ready to plan our first mission trip, and the leaders start talking about James 1:27, that we need to go and serve orphans and widows. I now have that emblazoned on my computer screen at my office. I'm finding that I'm reading the Bible more and learning about more scriptures on orphan care. And it's something that I, as a 54-year-old man, never thought I would be doing, but it certainly has drawn me a lot closer to the Lord. One of the things that we've gone through this process trying to figure out, all right, where is God calling us, is that to become adoptive parents, or what role is it? And about 2 years ago, Amy and I became foster parents because of this. We have had 4 children that's been at our home since that time. Now we're seriously talking about going back and living down there in Mazatlan so we can start serving the kids in our retirement years. I've had a lot of people look at me knowing how much I love to go outdoors. They know how much I love the Caribbean islands, and I feel I've done that. I've played enough golf. I've gone on enough fishing trips. I've seen enough beaches. There's very few things in life that I feel like 100% positive that I'm doing the right thing. And this is one of those things where I know this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's just an amazing feeling. Being able to put a smile on a little kid's face just means the world, you know, the world to us.
Putting a smile on a little kid's face means the most to us. You want to hear a really cool, crazy God story? Back on Monday when I got to the airport in Lansing, who did I run into? Gary. Gary from that video was in the airport. Not only was he in the airport, but he was on our plane. Not only that, I got on the plane early. I got settled in my seat and I thought I was going to be lucky to have an empty seat next to me. But no, Gary sat down next to me on the plane. And as we flew together across the country to catch my connecting flight down here to Brazil, we talked about this whole idea and I was blown away. Gary and Amy, his wife, this is a couple who has already done so much for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. They've done so much for orphans. You would think in their retirement they would just lay back and relax. And Gary's like, that is the last thing that I can do. He is just committing his life to going in the name of Jesus. For the last couple of years, our partnership with Mexico has been strong. We've also begun to partner in other parts of the world. We've hinted at it, talked about it little bits, and we're kind of being a little cagey about it because the area of the world we've been dealing with are closed countries to the gospel. We've been in East Asia in several different areas where the gospel cannot be publicly proclaimed without persecution to the local people there. We've also been working to help support church planting assessments and training in the Middle East. And just this week, I even actually got to meet a Pakistani pastor who is in the church here in Rio that we are connecting with down in Brazil. And so we've been doing this ministry there in these closed countries, and we're going to continue to do that. Be praying. We've not just sent a Rivite to East Asia, but there was another guy that we kind of sent to East, we supported, and then this year we're sending another person from Riv to East Asia for the sake of the gospel. And this year, God willing, we're also going to be publicly planting a church here in Brazil in partnership with Acts 29 and Compassion International. What I love about this whole thing is it's about planting churches and it's about proclaiming the gospel, and it's doing it through children. There's a story I heard from one of these churches in Brazil this week about this little three-year-old boy. His dad was a gangster, a drug dealer type, and his mom was addicted to drugs. And so you look at that situation. I just want you to think about that. Drug addicted mom, gangster drug dealing dad, living in a context of extreme poverty, there's like zero hope for that kid. And yet that kid connected into one of these local churches that we're partnering with Compassion International. And this little three-year-old boy became a Christian. And every day he went home and he got down on his knees in the middle of their little mud floor and he would pray on his little knees for his mom and his dad. And eventually over time, his mom wanted to see what was going on, what was changing in him. And so she went with him to the local church because Compassion International only works with local churches. They don't do this without a local church, which is why we got to plant these churches. But this little boy goes with his mom and she becomes a Christian. And then eventually they end up sharing the gospel with the dad. And the dad ends up becoming a Christian, deciding to burn all of his drugs in a big pile. Hopefully there was not too much smoke on that. burned all the money that he had made, burned everything that he had purchased with that money, and then went and told his gangster boss that he had done that. And that guy broke down in tears and said, can you tell me about a God that would change all of that? That happened because of a partnership that we have with a local church connected with Compassion International, impacted a three-year-old boy who began to pray for his family and began to change the gang structure in the town around him. That is why we are here in Brazil. That's why we're down here right now, and that's why we're planting a church with Compassion International and Acts 29. And so what that means for us is Riverview, we're ponying up quite a bit financially just to help make this happen. We're partnering with a whole bunch of other churches in the Midwest, all the way from North Dakota to Cincinnati. And we're partnering with all of these different churches to make this happen. And then later on this year, we'll have an opportunity to sponsor some of the children inside the church that we're planting in Brazil, which is, to me, an astonishing thing. And we're still continuing our partnership with Back to Back and all the orphan care that we're doing there and all the sponsorships we're doing there. We're just adding this new piece that coincides right there with our church planting desires. Now, I know for a lot of us, when we hear about this go part of the mission, we're amazed at what God has done, but we don't see a place for ourselves in that. Well, there's lots of places for us in that. There's the ability to sponsor children. There's the ability to go to Mazatlan on one of these mission trips that we send down there to sponsor a child there. But most of us, let's be honest, most of us are never going to move to Mazatlan like Gary and Amy. Most of us are never going to come down to Brazil like I had a chance to do this week. But look around you. We live in Lansing, Michigan, in a state where there are 10 million people, and the vast majority of them have never heard the gospel of Jesus in a saving way. They've heard Jesus as a swear word. They've heard God's name as a swear word. They've never heard someone come to them and proclaim the gospel and go on mission to them. In the Lansing area alone, we have 500,000 people, and that's why we're committed here. But we're looking around this great state, and we're looking to the west side of the state where everybody thinks everybody's already a Christian, and you know, and I know that that ain't true. And that's why we're sending one of our own, Brad Kidder, this year to plant a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Here's a little bit more.
As Sarah and I started to think about and dream about and pray about where we would go to start a new church, Grand Rapids really was at the top of our list really quickly because it was a place that we loved and we knew that it was filled with people that needed to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus. While there are a lot of churches in Grand Rapids, and there are even some really good churches in Grand Rapids, there is still a huge need for more churches who are willing to come into the downtown core and its surrounding neighborhoods and preach the gospel to kind of this new young generation that's moving into the area. And so we've been trying to think about that and dream about that for the past few months. And now we're in this phase where we're starting to gather people to come and be a part of this with us. Planting a church is not something that one person or two people or even three or four people can do. It takes a whole bunch of people who are willing to come together, to sacrifice together their money, their time, and their energy in order to build this new thing so that people might hear about Jesus. Church planning, in a lot of ways, really is a crazy thing. It means for some of us moving to a new place. For some of us, it means being a part of something that's scary in some way. And while it is kind of a crazy thing to do to change a big part of our lives, church planning really is just living out what we've been commanded to do by Jesus, which is to preach the gospel, to make disciples, and then to see them believe in Jesus because of the way that God is working in their lives. I think one of the most exciting things about seeing River City Church start is really getting to return to just the core foundations of what it means to be a church. That you know, the church isn't a building, and we don't have a building, and so that's okay. The church isn't how many people we have, and we're just getting started. But what we do have is we have this firm understanding of what our purpose and what our mission is as a church. That River City Church exists to glorify God by proclaiming the gospel to our city and ourselves. That our goal as a church is to constantly remember the gospel, the truth of what Jesus has done for us on our behalf, and then we take that and we proclaim it to other people around us, all so that we can see and know and proclaim how great that God is. Church planting is all about people who don't know Jesus getting to meet Jesus. And so what's been proven time and time again is that there is no greater evangelistic effort than the work of church planting. And really, thinking about Grand Rapids and Michigan, the country, and our world as a whole, our goal is not just to see River City Church get started, get planted, but after River City Church gets established, for us to be a part of a greater movement of continuing to plant churches all over our region, our state, our country, and the world.
And here's the thing. We are part of this movement. I mean, in a sense, it could have seemed like this whole message was just bragging about how great Riverview has been in our history. But man, that couldn't be further from the truth. What we're trying to do here is to talk about how God has been so faithful with us. He's been so gracious to us that he saved us, that he turned us into something new. And part of doing that is changing our affections, that Jesus changes us so that we become more excited about reaching other people for his name. And so that's what's happened over 40 years. And who knows how long Riverview will be around. I hope it's a long time, but for the next 40 years, let's continue to be part of this movement. And whether we're planting churches in East Asia or in Brazil or in Mazatlan, I challenge you to be involved. Get involved. Maybe go with Brad. We want you to maybe consider changing jobs and moving to Grand Rapids on his church plant. Maybe go on a short-term mission trip to Mazatlan. Maybe support an orphan with Back to Back. Maybe support a kid in extreme poverty with Compassion International. And for most of us, that go piece is going to be right here in our great city of Lansing, where we get the opportunity day in, day out to proclaim the liberating power of the gospel of Jesus to our friends, our neighbors, and our coworkers.
At RIV, our mission is to proclaim the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go.
Christ has set us free from the power of sin to the grace of God.
The gospel message of Jesus, his perfect life, his death on the cross for us, and his resurrection, that message has power to liberate us from sin, but also to liberate us to love other people.
To take forth the message of Christ with the love of Christ, it does something profound.
Naturally, that causes us to want to grow in our faith.
And for the scriptures to dictate some sort of pattern in our life.
We also want to serve. We help one another. We care for one another. And then we want to turn around and be a blessing to our community for the sake of the gospel of Jesus.
We are passionate about every man, woman, and child in the greater Lansing area. And wherever we can have a sphere of influence, we're passionate about that message going forth.
People live in certain places in the Lansing area because they want to live in those certain places. And so we made the decision that instead of being one location as a church, we would be a church in multiple locations, and it has allowed us to really take the church to where people are in our community.
And so while we may have a lot of people that are coming from a lot of different places, all of us come together really united around that same goal that we would see people come to know Jesus.
This is a platform for the gospel bigger than Lansing.
We really truly believe that God has instituted the local church to proclaim the gospel message in this world.
Okay, so let's kind of take a moment here. When I see what God is doing, and that's the first time I've seen a lot of that footage, I mean, it grabs me. And I want us to just kind of pause and really consider this question that Noel kind of left us with there of, okay, what does this mean for us? What does the go part mean for each of us individually? And like Noel said, a lot of us, most of us, are not going to have the opportunity maybe to go overseas and be part. Some of you maybe will do that, jump in on the Mexico thing. We would love to see all the folks that are part of our community here at least do a week-long trip there, sponsor a child, all the things that he talked about or the church planning stuff, even in and around our state, is very exciting. But what does it look like on a day-to-day basis for you and I to go? Maybe pull out a pen from the thing in front of you or your phone and maybe write a couple of notes here. I think it starts with the places where you already go. Every one of us gets up and goes somewhere every day. Where did you go today? This week, where did you go? Your home, your neighborhood, your apartment complex, your school, your kids' basketball games, or the gym, or whatever it might be. There's already a ton of going in your life, and that means there's a ton of gospel opportunities in front of each of us on a regular basis.
And so for me, this looks like being a regular at the restaurants. I have the spiritual gift of barbecue. I don't mean to brag, but it's very well developed. I want to go and I want to tip well. I want to be a regular. I want to be that normal, friendly guy. I want to befriend the barber and laugh with him. I just want to go to the pub because I see Jesus in the scriptures as a man of the people.
You know, there's a couple that attends the Westside venue, and this past summer, they really wanted to get to know people that they lived around. You know, they hadn't really gotten to know their neighbors on their block or anything like that. So one night in the summer, they walked around with these half sheets of paper, and it was just inviting people over for ice cream. No agenda, you know, no sales pitch, nothing. Just knock, hey, you don't know us. We live down the road. We just want to invite you over for some community and just hanging out. And then they walked home and they felt really awkward about it because they're like, we didn't know any of these people and they thought we were selling stuff, you know. And the thing is, though, weeks later when the event happened, a lot of people showed up. And a lot of those people weren't Christians. They were just people that were like, you know what, it was really cool that you did this. It was really cool that you just reached out. And relationships formed in that one evening. And from that evening, three more of these meetups started from other neighbors. They're like, oh, we should do this more. We should do this more. And now that neighborhood, it is growing together like a family because one couple took a step.
Some of you are passionate about racial reconciliation. Some of you are passionate about theology. Some of you are passionate about your friendships. I know folks here in Rio Town that help out with the Firecracker Foundation just down the road here in Rio Town, that they work with victims of sex abuse. I know other people who are living in that sphere of hip-hop culture, and so they started and they joined up with the All of the Above hip-hop collective, and this is this after-school program that promotes all these pro-social. It's just awesome stuff going on, but that's not me, right? So for you, I just want to challenge you. Talk to those that you love and care about, maybe the person you came with, maybe your life group. Ask them how you can go.
My son Luke is 16. And there's this gal in his biology class. He came home one day and said, Dad, there's this girl in my biology class that has a two-year-old child. And she lives in, maybe some of you are familiar, in Mason where we live, there is a place called the Angel House, which is a place for at-risk teen moms. And it's a safe house kind of a place. And it's maybe like 2 miles from our house there. And Luke says to me, he was telling me all about how she lives there and everything, and then he stopped and he just looks at me and goes, you know, we should go visit there. And I said, yeah, let's go visit there. That would be an awesome thing to do. What an opportunity for us to just get to know some people and to love them. Love some people. Love your city.
God has positioned you wherever you are at, and it's no accident. Your age, your status, your income, all your relationships, it's no accident. In this room, there are so many little spokes that go into so many different enclaves and corridors, and maybe this might mean, yeah, you go help plant a church. Maybe this means you invite someone to church.
I don't know what that is for you. I don't know if it's joining a life group. I don't know if it's becoming a Kids Hope mentor or going to Mexico or walking out your door. But my hope this morning, our hope at Riverview, is that you consider how you can take a step. Where can you go? How can you go? Is it off your porch or is it to Mexico? All of them are valuable, and they all do so much for us as the church and for those who are not part of the church.
So I just want to challenge you. Where are you going to go? How are you going to go? What's your next step? Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for all these people that you gathered from so many different stations in life. Folks that have different skills and abilities, different burdens, different passions, Lord. And I just pray that we can be a people that understands that we're sent, that we are goers, that Christianity is not this thing that we just sit on our hands with, that it's meant to live when we put our light up on a stand for all to see. I thank you for who you are, that we can be salt and light, that we can be refreshment. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, that you just give us a practical connection point to your great commission. I pray that we be people that go for your glory and for the good of others. In your name we pray. Amen.